You are listening to the Yabba Dum Media Podcast. We're a mother-daughter team who love to research, think deeply, and talk about our opinions on strange, unconventional, weird, and downright crazy topics. And now, here are your hosts, Gritzy and Yabba Dum. Okay, so it's working this time. So welcome to our first episode. Actually, this is going to be called our second episode because, well, two reasons. Number one, we actually already recorded this episode, but our microphone didn't record, so we had an hour and 10 minutes of silence. And secondly, because I wasn't sure how exactly to connect this to iTunes, I set up a test run and I named that episode one. So that's out there on iTunes. So welcome to the Yabba Dum podcast. I'm going to introduce myself. I go by the nickname Yabba Dum and my mom here goes by Gritzy. And first I'm going to tell you why we decided to name the podcast Yabba Dum. So when I was a kid, my nickname was Yabba Dum, and I'll let my mom here explain why that is a little bit.
Okay, well, when Yabba Dum was a little girl, she would always ask us different questions. And when we would answer the question, she always had another question. And her expression constantly was, but what if, and so on. And it happened often enough that her dad started calling her Yabba Dum. And ever since the time she was little, she's always searched out topics, wanted to know the answers, and wasn't just satisfied to hear exactly what was given, but wanted to test what she heard to see if she could prove it or disprove it.
Right, which is kind of what this is all about, our podcast, is seeking the truth. And also, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, because when you're on a podcast, you're not supposed to use the words but and all those filler words. And I'm sure we will, because we want it to be somewhat casual and just a regular conversation. And so I thought it would be kind of funny to name a podcast Yabba Dum. So, Mom, why is your nickname Gritzy?
Well, I started using the name Gritzy because I also wanted to seek truth. I wanted to be not afraid to stand up for what I felt was right, even if people didn't like me for it. Kind of like the girl in True Grit. She had a goal and she persisted despite the odds. And that's what I aspire to do. I really want to find truth despite the odds and then cling to it. Once I've tested that it's true, cling to it.
Right. Something more of our culture needs right now. So I think next... Well, let me just talk a little bit about what our podcast is going to be about and where we're coming from. So, you know, we are Bible-believing Christians, and we hold the Bible to be God's Word, the inerrant Word of God. And so rather than seeking what science says is truth and then basing all of our beliefs on that in our research, we take the Bible as truth. And it's hard when you grow up in our society, you know, where you've been indoctrinated with all the typical things, evolution, the Big Bang, just all of the major institutions that tell you this is what truth is. It's really hard, you know, as an adult to kind of go back and get rid of that. And even growing up in the church, which both of us did, you know, you just believe certain things that you're taught. And you read the Bible, but you don't really spend that much time taking it maybe as literally as you should. Or there's questions that are unanswered and pastors just kind of glaze over those things, or they don't go into those things, or they just say, well, this is probably what it means, or, oh, we'll just skip that, or, well, that's kind of weird. And it's like, well, you know, there were so many unanswered questions still. So we are, like I said, Bible-believing Christians, and that's where we're coming from. So this podcast is probably going to appeal to Christians more likely, but if you're not a Christian and you stumble upon this, please keep listening. You're welcome to listen, and you know, if you disagree with something, that's fine. Just don't go trolling us about it.
Okay. One other thing that I heard Chuck Missler say in one of his presentations is the only barrier to truth is the presumption that you already have it. So I just encourage everybody, listen and test. You don't need to believe what we say. You should test it.
Yeah, test it for yourself, for sure. Yeah, so anyway, let me get into our testimonials a little bit. I guess I'll go first. So I was, you know, born into a Christian home. We went to a Methodist church, and I was baptized as an infant in a Methodist church growing up. And then we shortly thereafter started going to a Presbyterian church, a PCA denomination. So I come from a pretty reformed background in that sense, but pretty solid theology. So, you know, that was good. We weren't all over the place and going to places where they do crazy talk and everything. So yeah, when I was growing up, I went to church every Sunday and Sunday school and did the whole youth group thing up until I was about 14. And then when I was 14, we moved to Alabama and we went to another PCA church down there. And I was still very involved up until age 16 when we moved back. And right about that time, I started getting into like the wrong crowd of friends, and I just didn't really want to go to church anymore. And I started working, and I worked on Sundays a lot. And at the time, I was like, well, what's the big deal? You know, I'm not going to tell them no, I have to be in church, because I didn't really want to be there anyway. And I kind of felt like everybody there in the youth group as high schoolers were maybe goody two shoes, and I didn't really want to be around them. And little did I know that actually wasn't the case, and I should have just kept going. You know, Christians aren't perfect. They have problems too. But I just stayed away and ended up dating this guy for about 4 years, and he wasn't a Christian. And I never denied Christ. I never like lost my faith. I just kind of walked away from it for a while, and I didn't really want to live the way I should have been living, even though I knew better. So, you know, we ended up getting engaged. And my mom and I were having this discussion, and she said, well, you know, you really want to get married to this guy? Do you really love him? Because it doesn't really seem like you really love him. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, I can live with him like the rest of my life. I can live with pretty much anyone. I mean, you know, I can get along with people. It's kind of what I thought, which sounds so ridiculous now. But that's, you know, where my mindset was. And she said, you can't marry someone you can live with. You marry someone you can't live without. And I was like, well, I can live without anybody too. You know, I'm independent. I don't need a man. But about, I don't know, either the next day or several days later, I woke up one morning and I really felt like I had just been hit over the head with 2x4 by the Holy Spirit. You know, I kind of was like woken up. Like, what are you doing? Do you really want, you know, your life to take this path and marry a non-Christian? And what are you going to do when you have kids? And how are you going to make this work? And it's not going to work. And so I called him up and broke off our engagement. I had already bought the dress. We had deposits down on several different things, the venue, the DJ, I think. And I just broke it off and stopped hanging out with those people and started going back to church. And shortly thereafter, I met my now husband. We got married and now we have 2 kids. We don't go to that church anymore. We go to a non-denominational church. But none of the churches I've ever been in or any that I know around here of ever talk about some of the things we're going to get into. They never touch the difficult topics or the strange and crazy topics in the Bible, which I think explain almost everything. Once you understand those, they explain almost anything. So we're going to get into a lot of that. But Mom, why don't you give your testimony and let people know where you're coming from.
Well, I too grew up in the church. I attended from a child until about middle school age, a Wesleyan church, and their views are about as far opposite as what the PCA is. So I've been stretched to either end in looking at doctrine. I was a regular attender at Sunday school. We were pretty much there every time the doors were open. And I loved to hear the Bible stories. That was the highlight of my week. I've never seen the Bible disproved. I just was thrilled with everything that Jesus had to say. Now, did I live it out as a child? No. Most of the time, it was I was thrilled with it at church, but it wasn't always happening in my life at home.
Right.
But I would have told anyone I was a Christian. I mean, I did accept Christ at 7 or 8, but as we all know, we are human. We stumble. When we were in middle school age, my parents quit going, and I also got away from going to church. But when my daughter Yabadum was born, I was reminded of the commitment, if I baptize her, that I should raise her in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's what drew us, my husband and I, back to church. Even then, though, I was searching for truth. And I don't know if it's my perfectionist tendencies, but really looking for the best way to do what I was called to do. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and pour my life into my children so that they would grow up and be strong in the Lord. And one of the ways I did that is I started homeschooling. So that was part of my journey into, you know, wanting to do what's truthful, realizing that maybe public education wouldn't offer everything that my faith wanted my kids to have. I guess that's where I am now. But I also agree that any church I've been in hasn't touched these topics we want to get into.
Right.
Or, I mean, I've actually had them come up in Sunday school class, but the comment from the instructor was, well, that's a really delicate and difficult topic, so we're not going to handle it. And what I feel is that there is a strong need now more than ever to touch these topics. There's a spiritual hunger in people today.
Yeah.
And if Christians would meet these topics head on and see that the Bible really is coherent, but it doesn't make sense until you put these difficult topics in place and truly address them, we could be seeing people come to Christ in a whole new way if they could reconcile some of these problems that they see with the Bible.
Right, I agree. And, you know, ever since we kind of got awakened to some of these things, which we'll go into shortly, you know, after that I decided to get baptized again as an adult, only because I changed my views on that a lot. Oh, I changed my views on practically everything. So, you know, that obviously led to one of the reasons why we left. And my husband grew up in a more even charismatic background. Not super charismatic, but definitely more so than I was used to. And so he kind of already was on a different page. So when we, you know, went to our non-denominational church, we felt more at home there talking about a few things that were different. But like I said, they still don't really, they don't talk about anything like that. And I'm afraid to bring it up, because if you do, you know, the couple times I have brought up kind of the weird things like Genesis 6 to people, they just look at me like I'm crazy, you know? And it's like, well, you believe the Bible. Like, look, it says that. What do you make of that? And they don't really ever look into it. And even as a kid, I mean, I remember I've read Revelation a million times. I mean, I had so many theories, even as a little kid, what those things were. And now I understand it so much more. I mean, I still, obviously, we don't understand everything because it is prophecy, but I can see these things playing out and I can see why it's happening now. So anyway, one of the reasons why we decided to do this podcast is because I'd say for about 10 years now, we've been, you know, kind of awakened to, we haven't been told these things in church and why, and oh, there's so much more to the Bible that's amazing and awesome and makes all the other hard to understand parts fit together.
Well, and that's the thing. What we noticed as we started going to prophecy conferences, well, we've only gone to a couple of conferences. We've live streamed numerous conferences.
Or bought the
DVDs. But the thing that we noticed is we were filled to overflowing with all this new information. We were eager to tell people,
right.
But every time you tried, you got the deer in the headlights look.
Yep.
And it became discouraging. And you wanted to find ways to explain things to people, but it was really hard to get them to step outside their normal paradigm and take a moment and investigate and look into it. And we thought this might be a good way to express some of what we've learned and find like-minded people to share and like open dialogue and discussion on these topics, because it doesn't seem like you can find it at your neighborhood.
Yeah, in real life. And, you know, people might still be your friend, but they secretly think you're crazy.
And maybe even not so secretly if you look at their expression when you start to say it.
That's true. That's true. So, yeah, I mean, right around 2007, 2008, I think is when we really started, you know, either watching conferences. Well, I think what all started it was the whole 2008 Obama thing, you know, him getting elected. It was like, holy cow, I cannot believe this is actually happening. And then I remember thinking, well, how can this happen in America? Because I was also still very much in the frame of mind that, well, America was based on Christian values and our founding fathers were Christians and there was nothing nefarious going on with them. So I was in a bit of shock just, you know, as a patriot, you know, what's going on with my nation. I had not looked into the whole false flag stuff with 9/11 yet. I mean, I found that out later, but I still was in that, oh, the terrorists did that. I believed all of that still.
Right. And even to the founding of our nation, as a homeschooler, I presented information to my five daughters that the Mayflower Compact with William Bradford and a lot of the early establishments, especially in New England, more so than Virginia, were based on setting up a godly method of government. But 150 years later, in the late 1770s, there was very much a Masonic influence in our government. George Washington was a Mason. Even the streets are laid out in a Masonic form.
Right.
So the Christian beginnings that we knew were there had
already disappeared
or at least faded into the background.
Right.
And that was eye-opening because that was the first like world paradigm shift that, oh, I'm not living in Kansas anymore.
Right. Yeah. And I think as far as the whole, you know, conference thing, the first conference DVDs we got were the Future Congress ones from, was it 2008? Maybe 2009, maybe a little later than that, 2012 maybe. I'm not even sure. But it was, you know, that was one of the first ones that we saw that we sat down in this marathon weekend session with my grandmother and I believe my aunt.
Right. What we did is a lot of our guys like to hunt. So on Thanksgiving weekend in our state, the Monday after starts the hunting season. So we used Thanksgiving weekend when they had gone all up to deer camp. We hung out, all the women together, and watched the DVDs one after another with half hours of discussion in between. We'd have dinner and we'd discuss. Our 1 hour dinner was 2.5 till we got done talking about all the topics. We were just starving for it.
Right. And then we were, you know, trying to soak up all of this information. And if you hear something new and you realize that it's true, and that you haven't believed that before, it's really difficult. I mean, it was exhausting. The whole weekend was exhausting. It was awesome, but trying to take in all of that information and just parse it in your mind and then realize every foundational thing that I pretty much thought was true now isn't. I mean, obviously not our Christian faith, but it just proved the Bible even more, and it really like set us on fire to start digging into the Bible and looking up like Hebrew meanings in blueletterbible.org. And we just wanted to get our hands on everything we possibly could at that point.
Exactly. We, like I said, we were eating up all the information ravenously and going between a mixture of excitement, some fear, but more so than anything else, just wanting to investigate and test what we'd learned. And some topics absolutely were the cog that clicked the gears into place to make certain passages of the Old Testament make sense.
Right. Like, I would say Genesis 6.
Yes.
For sure. And more recently, Psalm 82, with what Michael Heiser has come out with, The Unseen Realm. And I had read his books, The Portent and
The Facade.
The Facade, yeah. Which also was kind of crazy, but that's on a different topic. Yeah, that really was like, oh, this makes so much sense. Now I have an answer for why when people ask, well, God was just into genocide and he killed all those people and he didn't even care about the women and the children. And now I had an answer.
Right.
They weren't human.
But you rarely hear that, even when that topic's broached on. But the thing also for me that was really interesting is when we heard about Genesis 6, which is basically referring to the Nephilim, when the sons of God came down and took
daughters
of men from whomever they chose and had children with them. And then they said, and they became the heroes of old, men of renown. Well, that was actually what we are told are Greek myths. But what I believe it was actually true events that were happening. There were demigods, and even the fallen angels were actually gods in the people's mind.
Lowercase
g. Yes, that they were worshiping.
Yeah.
It wasn't just an idol of wood or stone. And maybe at some points there were things like that.
Right.
But these fallen angels had powers that they could demonstrate, which caused the people to want to trust in them for their crops, for fertility, for things like
right.
that. In Sunday school classes, probably because when you're young, they don't want to touch those subjects and, you know, scare the children out of their sleep patterns. They never talked about that. They talk about the idols made of wood or stone, but being an adult and really making the connection that a lot of the things those people were worshiping were actually demonic entities.
Right.
Completely transformed I continued to read the Bible and understand what was going on. Sometimes, I mean, I don't want to say you shouldn't take your kids to Sunday school at all. And I think where my gap happened is because I wasn't in church a lot between the middle school and high school years, every version I had of a Bible story was a scrubbed, clean, sanitized version that didn't show the full depth of evil and the full means necessary to eradicate it or to fight evil.
Right.
So, for example, in David and Goliath, David chops off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. But I was an adult, probably over 30, before it really clicked in my mind that that's what actually happened at the end of that story. Not just he hit him with the rock and, oh, he's down. That was not the end of the story.
Or that he was a Nephilim. You
right.
know, he's always explained as a really tall guy.
Yeah.
They didn't say, you know, he's part angel.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they say he was a giant, but
yeah,
they never elaborated on what that was.
Right, and I mean, there's people today who are really, really tall, and that does not mean they're Nephilim. Not saying that Nephilim don't possibly still exist.
Right.
But, or church would say the sons of God were Israel or sons of Seth or whatever they try to say, even though, you know, Israel wasn't even a nation yet. I mean, that was
later.
Way, way, way before that. But even, you know, like you said, the people who worshipped these gods or these demigods or whatever they were, those gods did have dominion over the geographical areas, and they were supposed to point those people back to the true God, Yahweh, and they didn't. They rebelled. And, you know, that's part of their punishment, because they didn't. That's why God's chastising them in Psalm 82.
Right.
Which just makes even more sense. It's like, oh, yeah, I get it now.
And even the plagues of Egypt, each plague was against a specific God
right.
in Egypt. And not only that, but remember when Moses threw down the staff and it became a serpent, the Egyptian magicians did the same thing. The difference was that Moses' serpent ate the other serpents.
Yeah.
So there was an element of power that was greater than the humans could wield
right.
that caused them to be turned away to worship these false gods.
And I love hearing, like, I really think, you know, in fact, who knows, maybe we'll do this in the future, but there needs to be curriculum and books and movies and things for kids to understand this. Can you imagine if all of us, and I know all the people listening, did not grow up knowing all of this stuff. I mean, unless you're in your early 20s and your parents were on the cusp of all of this fringe stuff, you did not hear all of this in church, because there aren't churches talking about this.
But if you have a church that is,
yeah,
let us know. We want to know.
We really do. Honestly, there really needs to be this for kids, because it's not scary if you present it as God's so much more powerful. And it does just make God more powerful. And God is awesome. It's like the greatest action story ever told when you actually put the true details in there, that God's like basically poking them in the eyes, you know, like, take this. Oh yeah, take this. Oh yeah, take this. I mean, he's not just sitting back letting this stuff happen.
Right. He was fighting for the Israelites, and he fights for us,
right,
when we're his believers. But we can lose sight of that fact, and knowing the truth in the Bible, it just bolsters our faith.
Right. Or knowing, you know, if you're having issues or problems or things going on, you know, there's things going on that you can't see. You know, the powers and the principalities that Paul talks about, you know, we're not battling against flesh and blood. And if kids knew that, even,
right,
can you imagine how much more powerful they would be in their spiritual walk later on if they already had that foundation? So, I mean, I definitely, my kids, they have grown up listening to all these podcasts. Some of them they like more than others. Basil and Gons, they love you if you ever hear this. I mean, anytime we were in the car, even still, you know, I put on podcasts and they listen to it. So they've heard all of this. And of course, they know now, you can't tell your friends this or they think you're crazy. It's like, well, welcome to the real world. But anyway.
But it's also spurred them to share about Jesus. They may not touch every fringe topic, but they're willing to talk to someone who doesn't know Jesus.
Right.
And they know that often they'll be laughed at and mocked, but it hasn't stopped them from bringing it up when they feel like somebody doesn't know Jesus and could benefit from knowing him.
And I think when you have the background of truth and you know so much more, then like they're aware of the reasons behind so many more things than I think I was, because they've heard all of this stuff, that they're like, well, I know this to be true so deeply. And even though like I always had faith as a kid and I knew certain things to be true, I didn't maybe know all of the nuances that I do now. So it's kind of neat to see them being like, well, I guess if they don't get it, they don't get it. But they try, you know. So anyway, we did watch all of those Future Congress DVDs probably several times over. We went to a couple of conferences. One of them was the Rocky Mountain Prophecy Conference in 2014.
I think 14.
Mom probably knows better than I do. But that was really cool. It was a very long drive. Worth it. But it was a marathon thing. We drove to Colorado. We had four of us. It was you and me and my sister and my grandma.
Right. And it was 22 hours. We drove straight.
Taking
Yeah, but my sister works night shift as a nurse. And she took the first leg and drove from like 10 to 3 in the morning. And then we just kept switching. Oh my, Kansas.
Very flat.
But we were excited to be there, and Stan Deo gave his presentation on the location of the Garden of Eden. It was wonderful to speak with different speakers. We found out that L.A. Marzulli's wife grew up in our backyard, more or less, a small town extremely close to where we live now. It was finally exciting to see that we weren't five people in the whole world that thought this way. And nobody else did, except the conference speakers.
Right.
Because we saw 1,000 people there who also were looking into the same topics.
Yeah, it was refreshing. And it is nice to be able to, you know, when you listen to podcasts all the time too, like I got into PID Radio early and View from the Bunker, and we listened to Hagman and Hagman and hear Steve Quayle on there and Stan Deo and all, you know, all these different things. And you listen to these podcasts and you feel like you know those people, which is weird, which is another reason why I kind of didn't want to do a podcast for a while, because I didn't really want to expose myself like that, because I did feel like I knew those people on the podcasts. They had no idea who I was. And I don't like being in the limelight so much. But then I thought, well, that's kind of stupid. You know, if more people did go out there, just regular people, like we haven't written any books, you know, we haven't spoken at any conferences, but if more regular people just started putting on podcasts and talking about things they've learned and whatever, then you actually do feel like you're making a connection with other people. And it is good to do it in real life at conferences every now and then. And thankfully with live streaming, you can do that. Anyway, so is there anything else you want to talk about, Mom, that maybe I missed before we go?
Well, there was a couple things that were really pivotal for me to really want to delve into these topics. There was a DVD, Bethlehem Star, by Rick Larson, and He was looking for what was the actual Star of Bethlehem according to Scripture. And he used data points in Matthew. I think he had 8 or 9 data points that he used to determine what that star would have been. And one of the things he talked about in his presentation was the Revelation 12 sign, which was, there was a great sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon at her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. And when he explained that he was seeing that in his Stellarium software, he wasn't actually seeing all 12 stars, but he was recognizing that that was actually something in the constellations. And then another man, Mark Biltz, explained that in Genesis 1:14, that the sun, moon, and stars were made for signs and seasons and days and years. And that word signs, if you look at it in the Paleo Hebrew, it means...
Is that the Moedim?
Or
is that
the Moedim is the... But the words Moedim are the seasons.
Okay, that's right.
The Moedim are the seasons, but the signs is the word... I'm not going to pronounce it right. Probably it's oats. Okay. But it was strong man nailed to the cross. And so when I tied the Revelation 12 sign into the fact that God uses the sun, moon, and stars... to right. signal us, that's what a sign is, it's right. a signal, that really spurred me to go back in the Bible and search more. And then another one was David Flynn. He wrote The Temple at the Center of Time, and that also was another confirmation that, again, God's word is true. Jerusalem is special to him. There were, and he was saying that at the various times that different nations conquered Jerusalem, the year they conquered them was also the distance they were from the center of Jerusalem in statute miles before Christ came and in nautical miles after. Again, that was like, this is real, and what the Bible has to say is important to us now for prophecy. And yes, we know that, but there are always certain things that make it jump off the page at you, and right. that was one of them. And then there were lots of things with Rob Skiba's presentations on Mount Hermon
yeah.
and how the fallen angels came and the location on the on our earth about the latitude and longitude of Mount Hermon and actually Roswell. There was a connection there.
Yeah, that's crazy. Which Michael Heiser talks about a lot, and then Derek Gilbert just came out with a book all about that and really breaking down all the nitty-gritty details of the huge significance of that.
Of what happened. Yeah. And we can tend to be reading our Bible and just gloss right over it.
Yeah.
And then one of the most recent things that really helped me to be able to explain to other people some of these topics is Dr. Michael Lake, who wrote the Shinar Directive and then mm-hmm. the Shearith Imperative.
Yeah.
He mentioned that history has there's a conspiratorial view of history versus just maybe what you might call a conventional or linear view. And if you don't understand that God and Satan are at war and that they are playing a chess match, kind of like L.A. Marzulli.
Cosmic chess match.
L.A. Marzulli mentioned that. You're not realizing that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that you're not seeing, and that Satan has dominion over this present age.
Right.
Even though God's ultimately in control, the powers that be in the world are in the hands of Satan at the moment.
Yeah, so that'll just lead us into some of the other topics that we're going to be talking about. So obviously in this one, we've introduced you to where we're coming from and some of our background and kind of what's in our head, which was really, really important. Michael Heiser talks about this a lot, how you need to have an understanding of the writers in the Bible and what influences they had in order to see where they're coming from. So I wanted to do that at our first episode so you knew, okay, this is what we've been influenced by. These are a few of the books we've read, and this is our background and where we're going to be coming from so that you can understand our context as well. So hopefully, you know, in future episodes, if you're like, what are they talking about? You can go back to this one. And hopefully we've covered enough of that for you to understand, okay, then I need to look into this or this or this to see where they're coming from. Kind of like how we'll be looking at the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jasher and the Book of Jubilees and not considering them to be scripture, but reading them and taking viewpoints from them, because that's what the people in the Bible who wrote the Bible were also reading at the time. That's what they talked about, their oral traditions too, and that's what they had as their, they didn't have the Bible, they were writing it. And obviously they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they had influences and information that they based their viewpoints on what God was telling them on to write the Bible. So
right. And as Rob Skiba says, they're biblically endorsed, synchronized,
extra-biblical
texts. Basically what he's saying is these books are mentioned in the Bible
for a reason,
and they're not mentioned in a negative light that says do not trust these.
Right.
They're mentioned as an external reference point. You know, if we trust that the Bible is true, it is reasonable to trust that if they reference something that is not given in a negative light, that the source is reliable. I mean, and that doesn't mean it's scripture, but you can certainly have a reliable historic source.
So some of the other topics we're going to talk about are the Illuminati and symbology, transhumanism, which is a big one because just this past week, a company in Wisconsin has started chipping their employees. Now, it is optional, they say, and they say that they're not tracking the employees by GPS or anything, but they're giving these employees an option to get chipped in their right hand so that they can just swipe their hand instead of paying at the vending machine and the cafeteria in the building. Now, to me, that's a little ridiculous. That's just lazy to me. It's not like you're going through... I could understand it if like TSA started coming out with something like that. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, I would not be surprised. I'm sure they will. But I would not be surprised if people were like, oh, this is such a good idea. Because that really is an inconvenience. I mean, still, it's not that big of an inconvenience. But it is. But to not even pull out your credit card, which takes like 2 seconds, or some money out of your wallet, and you're willing to get chipped, and they're all about this,
well,
that's
scary.
And
what I think happens is they try to introduce it on a very soft, benign level. Because people don't think down the road where this could take you. So they think, oh, well, this is just convenient. They're all excited about it. But what's interesting is, you know, Jesus said in the days of Noah that the coming of the Son of Man would be like the days of Noah.
Right.
And one of the specific things is transhumanism was rampant then with
all
the genetic
engineering and
the genetic corruption. And it's really obvious right now, even in the cartoons for kids.
Oh, yeah.
There's the whole X-Men series that adults see, but even like Moana, they straight out talk to you about the demigod and how this little girl is teaming up with him to accomplish something she wants. So it's definitely here. I can't even say it's on the horizon. It's here. It's just not necessarily in our everyday life full force yet.
Right. And I listen to a lot of podcasts from the other side also, where they have people on like...
Ray Kurzweil.
Ray Kurzweil and Peter Thiel. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Some other people who were really into this and they think it's great. And, you know, I listen to it, obviously, not because I agree with it, but just to see, like, where are they coming from? Really, what is on the horizon and what are they championing?
Yeah.
And what
exactly.
are they investing in? That's another thing. There's so many things that these guys and, like, these big entrepreneurs are investing in that they fully believe in and they're backing. They're trying to get this to happen. And if you want to dig more into that, we will in another episode. But Inhuman, one of the documentaries done by Tom Horn and I believe Derek and Sharon had a part in that, Gilbert, and Gon Shimura produced it, I believe. And that's a really good one to watch. We'll talk about the Mark of the Beast. What could it be? What do people think it will be? What is the most probable as of when we talk about it?
Well, and I thought about doing this at a family gathering. And I was a coward. I didn't do it. But what I wanted to do is I want to say, here's a question for all of you. And I wanted to lay out a scenario. There's this new upgrade that you can get. It's an injection that will allow you to live for 500 years. You'll have no disease. You won't age. You'll be able to learn things very quickly. You know, you can practically just go up to your computer screen and download information into your brain. And how many of you want to sign up for it?
And it's free.
And it's free. How many of you want to sign up for it? And I wanted to see how many in my family would just straight up go for it. And once they saw it, I wanted to say, okay, you've just accepted the mark of the beast, and here's what the Bible says about it.
Yeah.
And obviously, that would have not have been the best holiday if I'd have done it like that. But honestly, when you put it in a scenario and people aren't biblically literate anymore like they used to be, I mean, the whole society 40 years ago, you'd make a reference, a literary reference, and most people knew if it came from the Bible. And now they don't.
Right.
They have no idea.
Yeah, one of my daughters she's a coach. And, you know, she's in her early 20s, and she just got a tattoo on her right wrist. And my oldest daughter said to me that when my youngest daughter saw it, she looked at my oldest daughter with these huge eyes and went over and whispered, "Did she just get the mark of the beast?" And so she doesn't understand it quite as much yet. She's 8. I mean, so she knows all about it, and she knows where it's going to be and everything. They're so paranoid, they won't put anything on their forehead, which is good. Their forehead,
right,
or their hand. But their friends don't know it. They've never even heard of the mark of the beast, let alone believe in it. And even,
right,
people who have heard of it just think it's a joke or a fairy tale because, oh, that's stupid, or that's not true, or, oh, a loving God would never do that. But the thing is I really think that it's going to be, it's going to change your DNA so that you're no longer human. And if you're no longer human, you're not.
Jesus Christ's sacrifice does not apply to non-humans.
Exactly.
He died for Adam's race.
Right. And it's going to be a choice, too, because that's another thing. My daughters are really worried that someone's going to force them to do it. What if they drug us and put us to sleep, or they force us and they just shoot it into our arms? And I said, I worried about that, too, when I was a kid, you know? I said, listen, it's obviously a choice, though, because you're deciding to worship the beast. God is not going to hold it against you if it's forced on you against your will.
Right. Well, the other thing is, when I first started looking at a lot of this, there was definitely an element of fear and of needing to prepare. But then going back and studying the book of Exodus and realizing that God took those slaves who had no means of their own to bring wealth or preparations. He took them out of Egypt. And not only that, but he told them, go and ask the Egyptians for wealth to take with you.
They gave it all to them.
They asked to plunder them, and they were able to bring bounty of, you know, booty with them.
And even when they were wandering around, God provided them with manna, and only enough manna for that day.
Right.
You couldn't keep it or it rotted. So.
Right. So looking at some of those things helped me realize that ultimately my source is God. He's going to provide my needs. I need to be responsible in this world, but fear is, there's no need for that.
So we're going to also talk about the Tower of Babel and like quantum computing, CERN. I think all three of those probably have a lot in common that we could tie into. What was the Tower of Babel? What were they trying to do? What's CERN trying to do? What's quantum computing going to do? By like putting something out there and then getting an answer back from who knows where.
Right. And they even reference possibly another dimension.
Oh, yeah. Like they already know that.
Yes.
And it's like, why are you okay with this? But I guess if you're in cahoots with the other dimension.
Well, one of the things is, though, a lot of times these scientists, because I want to mention this, we don't want to be here and just like bash the scientists at CERN, for example. A lot of the people working there believe they're working on a specific task to bring something about good for mankind. They may not be the people at the top who understand what the true purpose of it is.
Right.
And
the need to know.
And
levels.
The need to know. And realize that as we grow up and we learn and trust in what we've been taught, so have these scientists grown up and been educated and trust in what they've been taught. So if they think science provides the answer and they don't need to trust in God, then they're going to look at the Bible as an antiquated history book that needs to be updated at least or done away with.
Yeah, and I want to also talk about, with all those things, the digital universe that Chuck Missler talks about. They're finding more and more that that's probably true, like this,
that we live in it.
Particles aren't what we thought they were, and they don't act the way they're supposed to, and we may live in a digital universe, but that's... If we do, like, that's fine. God still created it. And all these things have frequencies, like light, sound, act very differently when exposed to different frequencies and different
influences.
Yeah. And so, you know, that doesn't mean God didn't still create things, you know.
Right.
In fact, it points more towards obvious intelligent design.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll touch on that. We'll touch on the mind and body connection, what's biblical, what's not. You hear a lot now about that book, The Secret, and the power of attraction's real big, and meditation and mindset and all of that. And these people are obviously onto something because the Bible talks about that. As a man thinketh, so is he. And a cheerful spirit is good medicine, and a broken spirit dries up the bones. Like, there's definitely something to what you think can manifest in your body. But,
right,
you know, it's what are you thinking about? Who are you attributing those thoughts to? What powers are you using to try to do that? And Casper McCloud has a book out about that, I believe. And Steve Cloud came out with something about tears.
Tears, an ocean of emotion.
Yeah, and talks about how you can, like,
tell different emotions through the chemical makeup of the tears.
Right, so there's obviously scientific basis for that. But you don't want to get into some of the New Age things where it's they take truth that God says is truth in the Bible and they twist it. Well, that kind of ties in with ESP, and we'll talk about Stranger Things, that show on Netflix. Now, ESP, I think there's something to that as well. And here's why. Chris Putnam wrote a book called The Supernatural Worldview. And he talks about some really crazy stories. They're stories, but they're also case studies where things happen that couldn't explain other than some kind of psychic phenomenon going on. He even talked about, and this was in Stranger Things, mm-hmm. he talked about these cards that they used to use to see if people had psychic abilities, and there were symbols on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling you when I was in elementary school.
Right.
I remember distinctly, and I was in the gifted program, so maybe I was, like, set apart for weird experiments. I don't know. I don't think I had mind control going on, but there was definitely something weird going on. This was when I was still in public school, when I was in third grade, and our science teacher took this small group of us, about four of us, in this cement room with no windows. I mean, this sounds crazy, but I promise it happened. And he had us all sit at this long table with, like, a light over our head, like we're being interrogated. And he had these cards in front of him. And I could not remember, like, what were on the cards, but I knew they weren't, like, playing cards and they weren't, like, letters or anything. Well, when I saw that Stranger Things, one of the episodes, there were symbols on them. That's what he was using.
Oh, wow.
It was an they were actual cards that were used to, so he would look at the card and he would think it in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were supposed to draw on a piece of paper in front of us what he was thinking. So he was testing to see if we had ESP.
Right.
And it was being done. And Chris Putnam talked about it. And I knew that I had done something weird like that. And I knew it wasn't right. And I knew, but I didn't, you know, nothing really happened after that. So,
right.
And I obviously didn't have ESP. So thankfully,
right,
I wasn't drug off to the MK Ultra institution
program
or whatever.
Right.
But still, so Stranger Things is very odd because there's obviously things that's public information that we know was going on, but mm-hmm. then, you know, they put, like, a really freaky twist on it. And I wouldn't suggest watching it for entertainment purposes. Pray before you watch it. Watch it to see
with a very critical mind. Do not relax and watch it, because that, you know, there's nothing like something that you're watching as fiction or entertainment to allow it to just seep into your brain without any barriers or checkpoints up.
Right. And it's called television.
Yes.
For a reason. Television. And it puts your mind into, I think,
and it's
alpha
programming.
Yeah. Alpha brainwaves, channels.
Right.
I mean, everything channels about it, when you start to think about it.
What it is. Right.
It's not good. You know, if you're going to watch something, watch it while you're aware of, you know,
exactly
what's their purpose here? What are they trying to get across? Or who produced this? And what else are they into? And why? And where's the money coming from? And
exactly. Because imagine if you want someone to accept an idea that normally they would think is preposterous, if you can develop a fictional story about it and a plot, and you can get them to read it, they're in a relaxed state of mind. They already know it's fiction, so they're thinking, well, this isn't true, but it could be. And so they've just, like, let down all their defenses and they're accepting this whole premise.
Right.
And it's just one more softening of not taking every thought captive to Christ and wanting to filter everything through God's word to see what's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's brainwashing.
That's exactly what it is.
It happens in the news, obviously, and pretty much everywhere. Music.
Definitely.
So you got to be careful about that. But we'll talk about paranormal activity. Does the Bible say it's possible? Yes, obviously. What is it? Are ghosts all demons? Are all demons ghosts? What are aliens? What's the deal with that whole phenomenon? So we'll talk about that. Social media and rampant addiction and what social media does to your brain as far as dopamine releases and why that's concerning and what can happen.
And even some people are finding they have social anxiety from looking on it.
Yeah.
You got to remember, a lot of times people are presenting their best and you're looking at it from maybe possibly your worst. And then you see these big discrepancies. And there's even people who get anxious looking at social media. That's been tested.
Right. Yeah, there's people that put all the good things on there. And then there's people that put all the bad things on there.
Right.
And then there's people that put, like, too much information. I mean, I'm probably guilty of all of those. But so we'll talk about cashless society. We'll probably tie that in with the whole Mark of the Beast and
exactly.
Everything. RFID chips. NASA and moon landing and all of the videos that NASA has on the Earth and of other planets. Are they CGI? Are they fake? Are they virtual reality when they're in the space capsules and stuff? I've seen a lot of YouTubes where people are talking about these guys that say they're on the space station are using virtual reality. And here's some glitches to show why. And that's pretty disturbing. So we'll go into why are they doing that? Or what are they covering up? Or what's their reasoning?
Exactly. And if it is fake, or, you know, why would they fake something?
Right.
Whether it's fake or not, why would they fake it?
Right.
What's the reason? Because you don't do that kind of stuff for no good reason.
So we'll talk about flat Earth too. So we're going to talk about everything on here. I'm not afraid to touch any of that. Another big thing I want to talk about is chemtrails and GMOs and Monsanto and big pharma, fluoride, vaccines, alternative therapy suppression. I mean, all of that goes along with, are they trying to get rid of us? You know, the whole
right.
Georgia Guidestones thing. Are they trying to depopulate us more quickly than we already are? I mean, we already are going to be losing population. Our
exactly.
birth rate's low. But why are they doing this? Because obviously it's happening. And I think even the mainstream, I mean, most people know about GMOs and Monsanto, and they know
right.
it's not good whether they do anything or not. But they know it's not good. And they know it's all about the money. But not all of them know about some of these other things and like how it all ties together.
Exactly.
So we'll talk about the New World Order, which goes along with all of this. False flags. And FEMA camps. I don't know. I mean, you see all those videos and pictures out there from pretty credible sources that have these hundreds of thousands of plastic coffins lined up behind barbed wire. It's going, what are they preparing for? Are they just preparing because they know tragedies happen, or is there something coming? We'll talk about 9/11. There's like a million different theories out there, but I do want to talk about it just in case someone maybe still believes that it is how they said it is, or it was. And
right.
Let's see. We'll talk about Hollow Earth and the Vril Maidens and the Nazis and their real agenda and Project Paperclip and how they all went to Antarctica. So I want all of that kind of goes together. I just ordered the Justin Falls documentary, The Hollow Earth Chronicles. And
okay.
He's got Steve Quayle in it and L.A. Marzulli and Tom Horn and like everybody.
They're all there.
Yeah, they're all in it. So when we watch that, we'll definitely have to do one on all
and
of
if,
that.
And if you haven't researched Project Paperclip, you'll have to take a look and find out where the Fourth Reich actually is.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about. You want to go into that a little?
Well, just as a little teaser, Project Paperclip was a number of dossiers set up for prominent Nazi scientists, engineers, to allow them to come in to the United States rather than be tried as war criminals, because the Germans were so advanced in their technology toward flight, especially like electrogravitic flight, that the U.S. wanted to get a hold of this technology. So they gave these Nazis
Oh, yeah. They started
false
the whole,
dossiers to bring them in.
What?
And they're
like
the
NASA and
they're
the
start of the space program.
Yeah.
Werner von Braun
and
Jack Parsons.
The jet propulsion.
Jet propulsion
yeah,
laboratory.
Yeah, they were all Satan worshippers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The two of them. No, it was Jack Parsons went out in the desert in, I don't know if it was New Mexico or Arizona, and did the Babylon working with L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, geez.
And L. Ron Hubbard
another one we should add to our list. Scientology. Oh,
yes.
Man.
He basically said, if you want to make millions, invent a religion. And then he certainly did.
Yeah, he did. Wow.
And his military career was peppered with problems, things where he, you know, didn't follow orders and just basically was a real problem to the military. He did not respect the chain of command or any of that.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. That might be a few episodes.
Right.
Project Bluebeam. So I've heard about this and I honestly don't really know much about it. So we're going to look into that though, and we'll research it and tell you what we think. We're going to go over to David Flynn's Temple of the Center of Time. Mom mentioned that already.
Oh, and his brother.
Oh, Mark.
He's a twin.
Mark Flynn, yeah.
Mark Flynn has Secrets of the Labyrinth, which really goes into a lot of the secrets of secret societies, the Illuminati, Freemasons.
Yeah.
Again, are showing you that that's a religion of Lucifer when you get to the top levels. And I want to say when you get to the top levels, because at the entry level, most people think they're getting into a business networking organization.
Right.
And, you know, help a friend along in business. You help me, I'll help you. And they don't know what's going on at the top level. So I'm not trying to insult or hurt anybody at the entry levels, because I think I've heard Doug Hagman say the lie is different at every level.
Right. So you are, look into it. But I was going to mention, we were at this one conference. It was real small in Cincinnati. That was a couple of years ago. And Russ Dizdar was speaking there, the former Steeler, Brad
Cousineau,
and it was really neat because there was about 40 people there. So you really got to talk to people and fellowship with them, and it was a really, really cool conference. It was at this little Baptist church, and there was all kinds of different speakers there, but there was a guy who talked about Freemasonry, and I had heard that it wasn't good and that the 33rd level was really bad news, but I didn't know all of the details. Well, he really laid out their own literature and went into all of the details of what they're actually getting into and who they're actually worshiping and some of the rituals and stuff that goes on. And that was the first I had really heard a lot about the details of that. It was pretty cool. Okay, so we're going to talk about new book reviews. My mom has like 100 at least books from Tom Horn, famous book packaging blowouts.
All the bonuses. Yeah, giveaways.
Yeah, and we've probably only read a handful of them so far, or gotten through all of them, you know.
Right.
So we'll definitely have to dig into those some more and new ones as well. I want to talk about what are the stars and what is their purpose? Because the Bible talks about the sun, moon, and stars going in their courses. And what are their courses and what are the purposes of them? And what are they really? Like, are they more than just what we're told, giant gaseous bodies out in the universe? Or are they spiritual somehow? Because the Bible equates stars, it uses words that almost make it seem like stars are spiritual beings. And we'll get into that in more detail later on, and I'll explain where I'm coming from on that. But I want to dig into that a little more.
Right. And also it says that God named the stars. He let Adam name the animals, but God named the stars.
Yeah.
And so
are
inanimate objects needing specific names?
Right.
As a class.
We'll talk about EMFs and magnetic fields and radiation. And we're all surrounded with Wi-Fi now, Wi-Fi everything. A lot of people have wearables. And if you don't have a wearable, you've got your phone on you all the time and right next to you. And what's that doing? And is it harmful? And what are the long-term effects of all of these things? And we'll talk about gender fluidity and the LGBTQI, I think is a new one.
Okay.
Asexual maybe. And whatever all of those are about. The Illuminati card game. If you haven't heard of that, Google it and look at some of these cards that came out probably in the early 90s, I'm thinking. I was definitely before you know, 9/11, like 2001.
Right.
It was definitely before then. But look at some of these cards and then look at some of the things that are very obviously depicted on there that you know about that have happened. And then dig a little deeper because we're going to go over that and that's just a little crazy. We'll talk about what jobs will be extinct 20 years from now due to AI and everything, which is a movie I just rewatched this past week. And boy, is that disturbing. So that might be another one you want to watch with your eyes wide open.
Right.
The 2030 agenda. The UN has basically stated they're going to be tracking every human being on Earth by 2030 and talk about what are they going to do with that. I think Michael Lake talks about that.
6 billion sounds like a lot, but if they implement the Georgia Guidestones and reduce the population to a sustainable, quote unquote,
500 million. Oh, is it 500 million?
It would be very much easier for them to chip or track everybody. I won't say chip, but yeah.
I mean, I know that there's like, I believe Facebook probably has close to that amount already.
Right.
Like already people have accounts with Facebook. So Facebook's already got all of the information.
Right.
You know, for everyone on there. But I will talk about our favorite tools for research, like blueletterbible.org and some of our favorite podcasts and other websites we visit and pay attention to. We'll talk a little bit about preparedness. How much should you prepare? Stan Deo and Holly Deo wrote a really great book about this called Dare to Prepare. And Black Eyed Kids, Ellie Marzulli talks a lot about that. But maybe we'll even delve into more than just Black Eyed Kids, you know, like shadow people and
right.
some of those weird things that credible people, again, say that they see. And I don't really think they're making it up, but
right.
what could this be and what's going on? We'll talk about the gospel and the stars,
right.
how God's good news is laid out there for everyone to see.
And in the constellations.
Right.
And because God named the stars, we have scriptural proof for that. We find out that each of the individual stars that make up the constellation provide details to the larger picture.
Right.
Of the constellation itself and how it presents God's plan of redemption.
Yeah. And we'll talk about Planet X. Is that a thing? Is it wormwood? What is it? Obviously the word Planet X is not in the Bible. But
right.
people talk about this thing out there and they name it Planet X because they don't know what it is. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Free energy and Tesla. And Mom, you mentioned that Stan Deo had something going on with this.
Stan Deo has a GoFundMe right now. We'll put it in the show notes because he developed a method to produce some sort of free energy. And when he gave it to the patent office, instead of them following normal procedure and putting aside if they weren't going to grant the patent at that moment, they published it on the internet. He wants to work on this and make his plans public to help people because the internet's already, I mean, they've already taken any opportunity for him to protect his intellectual property. We met him at the conference
mm-hmm.
briefly, and he's just very genuine about
yeah.
his faith. And I had written an email to him about a question I had, and as much as he knows and as little as I know, he was so very kind and gracious in the answer where, you know, he could have easily brushed me aside or made light of the answer or just ignored it, thinking it was ridiculous. But he kindly and thoughtfully answered what I needed within a day. And so, you know, if you want to support someone who's trying to work on something with free energy, he's absolutely trustworthy.
Yeah, that's interesting. It reminds me, I saw something on TV, and I wish I knew if it was a documentary or what it was, but somebody had created this mechanism that produced free energy using magnets. And so they just hit this pendulum or something, and then all these magnets just kept going, and they wouldn't stop because it mm-hmm. was its own energy. And they wouldn't even show the details.
Right.
And I was like, why? Well, like, because then everyone would just make one for their house, or what was it? You know, it was
right.
really bizarre. Like, they kind of peeked at it, and it was like, oh, yeah, I can see how that would work, or why that would work.
Right.
But they wouldn't give the details. But that's interesting. So we'll talk about the Shroud of Turin, and we'll delve deeper into the Georgia Guidestones. The Serpent Mounds, which are over in Ohio, not too far from us. We might take a field trip out there.
Right.
But we'll talk about that. Satanic ritual abuse. Multiple personality disorder. We might have to tap into Russ Dizdar's resources for some of that.
Right.
That's not light topics to talk about. We'll talk about the sun and the moon. The sun, everyone nowadays says wear sunscreen and lather up on the sunscreen, you're going to get skin cancer. But meanwhile, there's all these diseases people are getting that are a direct effect of vitamin D deficiency. And like, is the sun really that bad? Or is it actually good? We've looked at some things that say the sun is healing and restorative. Right. And even up until 50 years ago, I mean, people, when they were sick, would go out in the sun and get fresh air. And, you know,
right
now they're saying, no, put on all the sunscreen that's laden with chemicals and probably giving you hormonal disruptions and right. other cancers from it. And then we'll talk about the moon and moonlight and how moonlight's been shown to be kind of had the opposite effect of sunlight, which is also odd because if the moon's reflecting the sunlight, why would, say, in the moonlight, in full moonlight, it's colder, usually up to 10 degrees colder than in the moon shade? And why do things putrefy in the moonlight? Why does the word lunatic comes from when people used to think if you would go in the moonlight, you would go crazy? And it's definitely documented that ER visits and hospital visits spike during a full moon. Why is that?
Right.
What's going on? They even, in ancient times or even in third world countries where there isn't a lot of other lights, women's cycles go according to the moon, to the lunar right. cycle. It's 28 days. And if they're not influenced by other lights, they ovulate at the full moon. And
right.
So something, if the moon's just reflecting the sunlight, why is that? Why does the Bible say the moon will give her light? And the right. sun will give his light. Why are there masculine and feminine things to each of these? And what does that mean? So we'll
right.
we'll dig into that. In fact, tomorrow is a full moon here. So I don't know when this show will go live, but we'll try to actually measure that for ourselves. We're going to go out there in the moonlight and see with our thermometers.
Those, yeah, laser thermometer, I think it's called.
Yeah, to see, is it true that it's colder in the moonlight than in the moonshade? And then how do you explain that?
And if we can do that, then maybe we'll go ahead and post a little video on our website.
Yeah, yeah, our results. And then we'll talk about the lunar calendar and the versus the Gregorian calendar. And the Israelites had 360 days, and now we have 365. And where did those all come from, and why, and who was behind it? And we'll talk about... Go ahead, you.
Oh, and even the names. Why are all the names Roman gods?
Oh, yeah.
Saturday for Saturn. Thursday is for Thor. And yep. and so on. We can delve into that a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll talk about holidays. You know, all of our major holidays, which everyone knows. Well, if you don't know, all of our major holidays are based off of ancient pagan worship days and traditions.
Far much more than actual Christian customs.
Right. And we're not saying don't celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate Easter, but Christ was not born on December 25th. In fact, Mike Heiser thinks it's September 11th.
Right.
And Easter is the worship of Ishtar. A lot of times you'll see Passover Sunday is not necessarily when Easter is. And
actually, the Catholic Church tried to find a time. They based the season of Easter to be the first Sunday after the full moon, so it would rarely land on Passover.
Right. So anyway, we do celebrate during those times. We know the difference, and we choose to still have family celebrations, and you can do, I think that's fine. And if you're against it, that's fine too. You know, we'll get into it, but don't think we're saying one way or the other and forget you if you do it a different way. Educational brainwashing. What are they trying to do to our kids in regular school and then in college? Why do all these kids who grew up in the church leave college and they're liberals?
Exactly.
What's the agenda?
And even looking back into some of the people who are heavily promoted in college courses and what they actually stood for and what their life was about, like looking into the details of who Karl Marx actually was and right. why that is not beneficial to our society, and yet he's promoted as a hero on college campuses.
Yeah.
And other people like Freud and Nietzsche and a number of people who, when you actually look into their character, which is why we gave you background on us, look into the character of those people before you decide to hear everything or follow everything they have, because, you know, you're going to be changed most by the books you read and the people you meet,
yeah,
as Dave Ramsey would say.
Yeah. We'll talk about orbs. Are they spiritual beings showing up in pictures and things like that? Why do you usually see orbs at so-called haunted places or places, right, where there's a lot of violent things going on? What's all that about? We'll talk about super soldiers and AI and robots. Where is this all leading? In fact, my husband told me, so my husband drives a truck and he was listening to Glenn Beck the other day, which, you know, we know Glenn Beck's a Mormon. We don't think he's actually a Christian, so I'm just putting that out there. But he still listens to him. And he was talking about how there's these two companies who built these AIs now, and they're really concerned because the two AI computers formed a secret language and are now communicating with each other, and the scientists who did them don't know what they're saying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, so he was like, yo, they're saying, kill them all, kill the humans. And I mean, that's scary, but obviously if you're going to make something like that, and, you know, Sharon Gilbert has brought this up, can a machine be a body for a demonic entity? Can a demonic entity, there's demonically charged things, which I think that there definitely can be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, I think a Ouija board is a demonically charged object.
Right.
That's what I think. And I think other things can be too. But if demons can go into pigs,
right,
you know, and they can go into humans,
What's to say they can't
inhabit it? And if we are in a digital universe.
If we are a digital universe, then a computer may be a little closer to a intelligent being than you might originally have thought.
Right, right. So that's something I need to look into what they were talking about this past week on Glenn Beck, but we'll go into that more. And 3D printing. Can people just print whatever they need to now from home? I mean, that could lead to bad news. What if you print something? If you print a body for a demon? Someone out there would do it. I don't know. I'm just saying. Okay. We'll talk about animals and pets. They have souls. There's a book out there. It was in one of those Tom Horn bundles. Do Our Pets Go to Heaven? I don't remember who wrote it, but are they psychic? Michael Heiser's Paranormal podcast, they talk about case studies where they can't explain dogs going to the window to wait for their masters at not routine times, 20 minutes before they come home. Like, mm-hmm. Do they know? Like, and what role do animals play? We'll talk about feng shui and yoga and martial arts and even sacred geometry and adult coloring books. What do all these have in common? And is it okay for Christians to do? I don't think so, but we'll talk about why. The pineal gland. Mm-hmm. Is it relevant? What does it do? Probably, I don't know if you've heard, but some of the podcasts I listen to that talk a lot about transhumanism are also real big on going on these ayahuasca is like a herb, ayahuasca trips down in South America where they have these shamans.
Okay.
And they do it to like become more creative and whatever, but that's the DMT.
Okay.
That's where that DMT comes from. And, you know, these
right.
people come back reporting that they saw and met these beings with these other people who were also doing this drug. And they met the same beings and saw each other there while they were there. And then they did it again and, like, they left off where they left off. And does that have to do with the pineal gland and what's going on with that and why that's bad? And we'll talk about evolution. Obviously it can't be true, and how our DNA is disintegrating. We're not getting better, which is probably why they're so into transhumanism. I mean, if we're getting better, why do you need transhumanism? We'll just keep getting better. Obviously we're not.
Right.
Time travel. There's a
series.
A series called Outlander. It's very graphic, but it's kind of weird how it's this popular series now, and it's all about time travel and can you go back one way or another way, and they go through stones that are like basically
Stonehenges.
Yeah, like Stonehenges, and like there's a lot of supernatural stuff in there, and like why is this all of a sudden popular now. And it's kind of one of those things, like, what are they trying to tell us that's going to be happening? Or what are they putting in our
psyche? What is the predictive programming?
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about frequencies and crystals and sounds and foods. And is there anything to that? And why the New Age really jumps on that? And why they're probably using something that is there, that does exist, that God created for good, and how they twist it into bad and why they would do that.
Right.
We'll talk about weird dreams. Can people have dreams that come true? Do some dreams still come from God? How do you know the difference if dreams come from God or if it's just your body getting rid of junk, you know, your brain getting rid of garbage, or if it's, you know, something that might happen? I mean, people do have dreams that come
premonition
true. Yeah, premonition.
Dreams, exactly.
We'll talk about Babylon and Mystery Babylon and what it could be and what we think it might be and where. Bigfoot and fairies and gnomes and leprechauns. Because, well, there is. Okay, and I haven't delved into any. My husband thinks Bigfoot is totally a thing. And I know Basil and Gons did a thing on Bigfoot. And it's pretty compelling. But the fairies and the gnomes and leprechauns. What I think that is I think it's, you know, other Nephilim thing. You know, I don't think all Nephilims were giants. I think that there were so many weird genetic things going on.
Because if so much was corrupted that only Noah's genome was perfect.
Right.
That.
And every culture has, they have giants, they have dwarves. They have little things that fly around. And it, like, where does that come from? Is it from Hollow Earth? I mean, Who knows what all these like little races are? And then I want to talk about, you know, Leviathan and dinosaurs and maybe what happened to them. And then, like unicorns, did they ever exist? I mean, unicorns are a big thing now, but were they Pegasus? I mean, did they have wings?
Satyrs? Minotaurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those things. I mean, I think that all those things definitely existed at some point. I don't think God created them. I mean, I think God created the dinosaurs and there's probably various kinds,
right?
You know, but I don't think God made a half bull, half man,
right?
You know,
right? And there's even reference in the Bible to the lion men of Moab.
Oh, yeah, Sphinx,
right?
You know, was that an actual thing? I mean, why would you make a statue of something that didn't exist or that you weren't told about or something? Like, that's kind of silly. I mean, I would think that
statues usually preserve the culture. You're commemorating something. You're
something,
not off.
Yes.
Well,
or
we're saying that, but because today there is art that is very hard to think it has any true purpose.
Yeah.
Like some of the art
like
that's
spirit cooking.
Right.
Weird. Yeah. That's,
right.
Although,
but
they
honest,
still
that
are
is
doing something
that is
to Satan.
Exactly. That is still offering honor. Yeah.
Crazy.
The
Vatican and Jesuits. Yes, we're going to go there. Sorry if you're Catholic, but you need to listen to those ones. The early church fathers, Ken Johnson, has a ton of good stuff on this. He just wrote a book called The Ancient Gad, The Ancient Seer. I'm probably saying that wrong, but if you look up Ken Johnson and Gad and Seer, you'll come up with it. I'll have to put the link in the show notes, but that was really neat. And he goes into a lot of what they believed. And, you know, they were the closest people to the disciples. Like, a lot of the early church fathers were the people who studied under the people who studied under Jesus. You know,
exactly.
They were like the grandfather or the grandchildren of Jesus's disciples type of, not literally, but metaphorically speaking. Baptism and tulip and I want to do speaking in tongues, you know, and I'm not going to bash any viewpoints on any of this, but I do want to talk about, like, you know, what do different Christians believe and why do they believe it? And I'd love to have people on who have strong viewpoints that they can base biblically on this, because you hear a lot of pastors say, well, this is what we believe in and this is why. But I always feel like it's so vague,
It would be helpful to see some other perspectives.
Yeah.
Because honestly, that's how you find truth.
Right.
You examine various perspectives. You filter it through the Bible once again and cling to the truth.
Right. And I'm not saying, I know a lot of these things are like how we interpret scripture. And some things might not be black and white. And it's not something to divide over.
Exactly.
But I want to touch on them. The NSA and Area 51 and Roswell and the Kecksburg UFO crash, which is near us. So I'd like to go there.
My mom's mom actually lived in Kecksburg at the time of the crash. And my dad drove out there that night and to try to get pictures. And of course, the military was already there fencing everything off. So he couldn't.
Right.
But he made every effort to get there and try to find out what was happening with that.
That's crazy.
What
makes me wonder, though, is, I mean, where did the military... We don't have a military base near us.
Right.
So where did the military come from so fast?
Behind that, pay no attention to the man behind the green curtain. Or whatever. Well, what was the one on Oz?
I mean, did they know it was coming?
I don't know for sure, but what I would guess is they were probably tracking it somehow on radar or something and knew there was a problem. So they knew to send people out there to get out there and mop up.
I mean, I don't know what we'd find if we go out there, but I can't believe I've never been there.
This just dropped in my mind just now. I realized that the people who lived, I mean, I can't say there would be radiation involved or anything, but the people who lived like right next door to my grandmother, two or three in their family who lived there at the time died of cancer. Now, my grandmother in 1970 moved away from there, so she wasn't there. But, you know, I know for a fact that several of them died of cancer.
What kind?
I'd have to look in. I'd have to...
Well, if it was thyroid cancer or something like that.
Yeah,
boy.
I'll have to.
I don't know that
I'd have to check into it, because I don't know. I'll have to check with my mom how close the actual crash site was to where her mom lived, because Kecksburg's a very small town. You could hardly call it a town.
Yeah, it's like a village.
Pretty much a village.
Yeah,
it's a couple of blocks and a couple of farms.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll have to find that out and let you know.
We'll
talk about the rapture and different viewpoints on it. Are you pre-wrath? Are you
pre-trib?
Pre-trib? Are you post-trib? Are you an amillennial? Is there a rapture?
Pre-millennial? Or are you a pan-millennial who says it'll all pan out in the end?
Yeah. I've changed my view on that several times. I would say now I am a pre-wrath rapture person. I think, like, although, hey, I would love to be pre-trib.
Right. And that's pretty much where I come down on it as well. And that's been where I've been for a long time.
Yeah, I always feel like, well, I really think that we're going to see a lot of this stuff and know before we're gone.
Right.
And we're going to be suffering and have to make a choice at some point. But
well, and the thing that makes me feel this, and I would love to find scriptural proof that could tell me wrong, but I've just felt like because the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and there's, I believe, going to be a big opportunity for many people to come to Christ near the end, that Christians who are already here have to live out their faith in some of these choices that make other people hungry for Christ.
Yeah.
And like I said, I could be wrong. And if you can clearly show me scripture, I'm willing to listen.
Yeah.
I won't turn your way on that.
Yeah. I love talking about that. I had a dream when I was about 10 that it was May 5th, but I didn't know the year. But I knew in my dream that it was May 5th. And I didn't have the dream on May 5th. But it was May 5th in my dream when the rapture happened. And, you know, I heard a horn, a big trumpet outside, and I like knew instantly that it was Jesus, and or it was Jesus coming back because there was an angel sounding the trumpet. And so I go to the window and I threw up the sash. I peeked out my head and I look up and there's Jesus and he's coming down in the clouds. And like all my neighbors start opening their windows and poking their heads out. And we're like, yeah, it's here. And then every year since then, since on May 5th, I'm like, today's the day, today's the day.
Cinco de my Lord.
Well, I mean, I'm not a date setter, but if it happens on May 5th, I'm going to be rubbing it in so many people's faces. I just have to say that.
Oh, gosh.
But anyway, I'm ready on May 5th, I can tell you that.
That's the one day she's prepared for.
Yeah, just about, probably. But and biometrics and DNA testing. So I did do my 23andMe test because I don't know. Maybe I should have. Maybe I shouldn't have. But I was kind of like, they have our DNA already. I mean, how many times do you go to the doctors and they put a tongue depression thing when you get a physical? I mean, they've got your DNA if they want to get it. But I wanted to just see, you know, like, what things am I prone to? What things,
you know. You were dealing with some health issues for a while that they were having a hard time diagnosing. So that was maybe one other avenue to.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest, everything I got back, I mean, I was like, duh. I had no surprises, you know. I mean, anything that I was slightly higher at risk of was stuff that, you know, my great-grandparents had died from of old age. I mean, there was nothing that raised red flags. All of my, you know, heritage was, duh, I knew that, you know. But what was really cool was my husband did it, and he found out that he has a little bit of Ashkenazi, is that how you pronounce it?
Ashkenazi Jew?
Yeah, uh-huh. A little bit. And that was really neat. You know, that was exciting. And I have a little bit of, what was it? Oh, man, I should have looked into this before I did this, but this episode. But I found this, like I had about 2 or 3% of like North African. And I was like, well, that's, you know, weird. Where's that come from? Well, when I looked at the actual Halop group, gosh, guys, I'm sorry. I sound like an idiot, but
we'll look it up.
Yeah. So I looked at like the actual letters that were in it or whatever, and they have traced it back to Sumerians.
Right.
And they said it's
not Sumerians.
No.
Sumerians.
Like
Samaritan.
The good Samaritan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they traced it back and they said that only existing Samaritans today, from the Samaritans from Jesus' time, still have that, and it's very rare. Hmm. So I was like, well, that's crazy. Could my husband have been, you know, a Jew that, like, was, you know, or, like, was I related to the Good Samaritan who helped the guy that was beaten, or was I, like, related to that lady who had five husbands, and then, like, maybe my husband's ancestor was one of them? Like, I don't know. Like, it was just really neat to think about, but, you know, there's definitely bad things about some of that. And like, there's companies out there now who want to, you know, have you sign up to use your DNA to tell you should do this or you shouldn't do this or whatever. And I mean, you can find that out yourself.
Right.
But when you are then giving it to another person, then it's kind of like, well, you know, now they can clone me. So.
Right. And they, don't they have? Never mind.
What? No. Okay. Well, anyway, guys, I think that's it. And we went a lot longer this time, but that's okay. That's good. So, yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk about in the future. So another thing I wanted to mention is before we finish up is we want to start giving stuff away. So I want to get some Yabba-Dum merchandise to give away for people who rate or review us on Apple iPodcasts or iTunes or whatever it's called now. They changed it. Or even on Stitcher or Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts, if you would review us and rate us, we want to send you something. But before we go ordering a bunch of stuff, we want to know what you actually would prefer. So if you go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/yabbadum, I have a survey on there, and there's about 5 options that you can pick from. And I'll leave it up there for a little while. And then once we decide, you know, what you actually would prefer to have, whether
right.
you're a t-shirt person, you want to tell everybody you're listening to us, or you're more like me and you settle for a journal because you don't want anyone to know that you're crazy. I don't care. I just don't want to order a bunch of stuff that nobody even wants. So we'll pick someone on every episode and we'll read your review and say your name.
And if we do, we'll send you something.
Yeah. So we'll, you know, if you hear your name, email us. It's yabbadummedia@gmail.com. And Yabba-Dum, obviously, if you're listening to this, you can see how it's spelled, but it's YEAHBUTUM.
And also, we want to ask something. If you're an expert in any of these topics we brought up, or if you have a topic we haven't brought up that you would like us to talk about, get in touch with us. Let us know. We'd love to eventually start having people on that we can dialogue with.
Yeah. Or even if you're not an expert, you know, or right. if you're just getting into this, or you want to talk more about something, or you've had some weird experience, or you even just want to give your testimony and talk with other people who are on the same page, we would exactly. love that. That's why we're doing this. So.
Yeah, we really want this to be listener interactive as much as possible. We want to get to know you and build a community.
Yeah. So head to our website, yabbadum.com, and you can comment on this the show notes. You can check out all the show notes there. You can contact us via our website, get on our Facebook page. We're also on Twitter at Yabbadum, and all of the details are in the outro after we end, so you can check us out pretty much everywhere. So thanks, guys, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon with maybe our lunar light experiments and right. a few other things.
It was good talking to you. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to Yabbadum Media. Don't forget to check the show notes at yabbadum.com for links to everything that was mentioned in this episode. You can also find us at facebook.com/yabbadum or on Twitter at yabbadum. Keep an eye out for our next episode. And would you do us a huge favor? Please subscribe to our podcast, share this podcast, or even tell a friend about it. We would love it if you would rate and review our podcast on iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our mailing list at yabbadum.com. And if you feel inclined, we would love your support on Patreon. Thanks. See you next time.